I'm going to begin in chapter 4, verse 1. It says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take a census of the Kohathite branch of the Levites by their clans and families." There was three branches of the Levites. Ones were called Kohathites. One was called the Gershonites, and the others were called the Merarites. We're going to have a test on that at the end of the session today. So, but they're basically sons of Levi, and they ended up developing into three branches of people. Several thousand men in each family group. I forget the exact number, but it's in the book of Numbers. I think it's around 7,000 in one, 8,000 in another, maybe 6,000 in the other. But it says here to count all the men from 30 to 50 years of age. Jesus started his ministry at age 30, and John the Baptist did. It seemed to be an age when men like this were called into ministry. And they retired at age 50 or something like that. 30 to 50 who come, and listen to this word, to serve in the work. These men are called and counted for one reason. You're to serve in the work at the tent of meeting. Now, some of you that might be using a different version of the Bible, it might say something like to join the host. Anybody have a version that says something like that? To join the host. It's really a word that means an army, like the host, the army of God. And in a way, even though the Levites, if you remember, they weren't counted among all the children of Israel who were called to be in the army, they still served in a sort of army. They were still fighting the battles of the Lord, even though their work was centered around the tabernacle. And so, 30 to 50 years of age, maybe you're in the prime of your life. And when I thought about that, I was thinking, what about us? Maybe we ought to think about giving our best to the Lord. You know, sometimes we think like, well, little kids serve God, but then they get older and they get wiser and they kind of live life. And then maybe at the end of their life, before Jesus comes back, they might think about getting serious again. But what about giving God the prime of our life? And what does that mean? Does that mean everybody in the prime of your life is going to be in ministry? Absolutely. Maybe not a pastor, but in serving the work. Don't wait till your life is over. You know, there was a word today about busyness. What do we busy ourselves with that we can't give our best to Jesus? I mean, is there anything more important than giving to Jesus what he wants? Now, I'm not putting anybody under a guilt trip today. I'm just trying to explain to you that these people were called, they were counted, they were pulled out for the express purpose of serving in, what's this word? The word is work. Serving in the work at the tent of meeting. So I'm going to show you some slides. Flip. The Kohathites. I'm not going to read all this, so you can take your time and read through the chapter. But basically, the Kohathites were called to take care of all the articles that were in the tabernacle, the furniture and so on. The next couple slides will show. So here's what they were taking care of. There was something called the bronze altar. There was something called the laver. The Kohathites' responsibility was to take care of these things and to carry them when the children of Israel would march from place to place. Next slide. Inside that tabernacle, they had what was called the golden candlestick. There was a table of showbread. There was an altar of incense. And then on the back side, there was actually a curtain that went across there. They're kind of showing you what's back there. But basically, it was the Ark of the Covenant. And these were the things the Kohathites were responsible for. Next page. This is what it looked like when they carried all these articles. The Ark of the Covenant is really the only one that looked kind of like this when they carried it. Many of the pieces had poles like that, but this is the only one that had a blue covering. Everything else was covered with badger skins. King James uses the term badger skins. They actually believe it was maybe a porpoise or some sort of an animal, like some sort of a sea creature. But it wasn't beautiful like this. How many of you have ever seen a badger skin or a porpoise skin? It's just kind of bland and drab. So most of the articles, except for this one, were covered by this. I'm going to use the term badger skin because I think it just sounds so cool. But it might have actually been a porpoise. You know, they really don't know. There were lots of these animals called dugongs. Have you ever heard of a dugong before? You have heard of a dugong. Praise God. I was thinking you were thinking I was making that up. It looks kind of like a manatee? Yeah, a manatee. It looks kind of like a manatee, like a big, they call them like a sea cow. And apparently they have them over there in the Mediterranean Sea. So they were accessible to these people. That's the point. You might have thought a porpoise skin in the middle of the desert. Well, there was the Mediterranean Sea was there, so that's the point. But the idea is that this one looked beautiful. It had the blue covering over top, but everything else was covered with the badger skin. Next page. The Gershonites was the next group of Levites, and their responsibility was they carried all the curtains. So the next page. Here's all the curtains. You had all this around the outer court, that curtain. You had the tent, the actual tent that was there, the tent of meeting, the curtain that was in the front, and the curtain that was, you don't really see it, but it's out here where you actually come in. There was a big curtain there. Their whole job was to carry the curtain. That was called the Gershonites. And then there was what's called the Merarites. Next slide. And they were to carry all the framing. Crossbars, the boards, all the setup. So next page, here's what the frame looked like. It was like these poles stuck in the ground. They had tent pegs, and they would just basically pin it down. There were pillars back there, pillars up here. So their whole job was to take care of the pillars. So the Lord had this thing really organized. You know, we have some guys responsible for this, some responsible for that, some responsible for this. So every time the children of Israel would move from place to place, your job, if you were a Kohathite, was to go in there and carry those articles. If you were the Gershonites, you did the curtains. If you were a Merarite, you did the framing. So that's how it worked. Now, the last verse of this chapter, if you'll turn there, I believe it really summarizes what the whole chapter is about and what I really want to talk to you about today. In Numbers 4, verse 49, at the Lord's command. I want to underscore that word. At the Lord's command. How many of you know the Lord doesn't make suggestions? We do, but he doesn't. And so the Lord gave a command through Moses. And then I want you to think of this word, each. How many here is an each? Okay, there's a couple of them around here. Each. We had a word today, I think, about from Jen about how each person has something to bring. Like the little boy that brought his loaves and fishes. Each person has something. And so here at the Lord's command through Moses, each was, and here's the next word I want you to listen to, assigned. Now, how many like to be assigned things? We like rather to have a list of options. Say, you want A, B, or C, and you can sign the list. But it's something different to walk over and say, Ted, you are assigned to this task. Because you might not like it. How many here have ever been assigned a task you didn't really care that much for? Like, especially if it was a term paper in school. But the Lord actually came and said, I'm going to assign some things to you. And I believe the Lord has assigned things to us. Amen. How does that make you feel? Good. I hope it makes you feel good. But some of us shy away from his assignment. But he's given to each. Each was assigned his. And look at the next word. Work. Work is toil. Work is sweat. Work is hard. Work is laborious. Work is tiring. But that's what we're called to do. That is what we talk about, the work of the ministry. What does that mean? I mean, you sit around and watch TV all day? No, it's work. And when we talk about the work of the ministry, we're not talking about just the pastor of a church. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the job of the pastor is to equip the saints for the what? The work of the ministry. So God has called each of us, and he's assigned something to each of us, and he's called each of us to work. I hope that you will see that part of what God wants to do with your life is to draft you into the work of his service. Whatever that looks like. But it's work. And it is tiring. Paul the Apostle talked about the burden of his life. You know, you read about the ministry that Paul walked under. He said, I've been beaten. I've been shipwrecked. I've been in fastings. I'm in threats by my countrymen. And besides all that, that which comes upon me daily, the burden or the care of all the churches. That sounds like work, doesn't it? It doesn't sound like I'm going off on a nice missionary trip to spend some time in the Caribbean. It sounds like work. It sounds like hardship. It sounds like difficulty. And there are many who shy away from the work of the kingdom because it is hard. Or there are some who will jump into it, and when it becomes difficult, they might say, it's too hard for me. And I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ today is just filled with so many people that God wants to use who never allow themselves, who never really take their assignment, who never really pick up their instrument to carry it. And what would happen if the church became mobilized in that way? What would happen if every one of us understood that we've been drafted into the army of the Lord? We've been called to the work of service. And so it's the word work. And they were told. I know in our day and age, we don't like the word told. He told me what to do. Well, he's your boss. Yeah, but he can't tell me what to do. You know what I mean? It's like we bristle at the word being told. And yet the Lord told them what to carry. I love this. So the Lord commanded, he gave each an assignment, work, and they were told what to carry. And thus they were counted as the Lord commanded Moses. I want to be a Levite. I want to be a Levite. I want to serve God. I want to be in his kingdom. Okay, well then, here's your assignment, and I'm going to tell you what to carry. Doesn't sound like a glorious job. Doesn't sound like the glamorous ministry they put up on their websites and they're trying to encourage you to come to their seminary. Does it? I looked at these words in this chapter. The word command is used 5 times. Sometimes when you're studying the Bible, the amount of times a word is duplicated kind of gives you a little bit of an insight about what God is trying to say. And so I looked at these words, and 5 times the word command is used in this chapter. 4 times the word assign is used. 13 times the word, guess what is used? The word work is in there 13 times. The word carry is in there 13 times. And the word count is in there 15 times. So I want to talk to you a little bit about this. The Kohathites in verse 15, they're the ones, if you remember, had the job of carrying the articles, the furniture. And here's what it says. You might think, well, hey, we're the Kohathites. We're special. We get to carry the articles. You know, you're only able to carry the curtains. Or you're only able to carry the poles. We get to carry the articles. Aren't we special? But as the Lord continues to give direction. Here's what he says. After Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy furnishings and all the holy articles, and when the camp is ready to move, only then are the Kohathites to come and do the what? The carrying. So they couldn't go in there and look at them. They couldn't touch them. It's like all of a sudden I'm not so special anymore. You know, Aaron and his sons, they're the ones who get to go in and cover it and wrap it all up and put the badger skin on there. Only then, only after everything's ready, do I get to come in, and all I get to do is carry. That doesn't sound that glamorous. I want to go in ahead of time. I want to get a peek inside the most holy place. I want to see the Ark of the Covenant. I want to touch these things as I'm wrapping them up in the badger skins. No, Kohathites, you can't do that. Your only job is to carry. That's all I want you for. Doesn't that sound maybe a little bit demeaning? Not only was it maybe looked at as being demeaning by some of them, but it was also life-threatening. Listen to this. They must not touch the holy things or they will die. Wait a minute. I want to be a Gershonite. No, you've been assigned. You're the Kohathite. Just do it my way. All I want you for is the carry. Aaron and his sons will wrap it, set it all up, put the poles in. You come in and touch only the pole. Because you touch anything else, you're a dead man. Remember, we talked last time about how God desired to have closeness, but he desires holiness. And he's still emphasizing this here. The Kohathites are to carry those things that are in the tent of meeting. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, see that the Kohathite tribal clans are not destroyed from among the Levites, so that they may live and not die when they come near the most holy things. Do this for them. Aaron and his sons are to go to the sanctuary and assign, there's that word again, to each man his work, there's that word again, and what he is to carry. There's that word again. But the Kohathites must not go in to look at the holy things, even for a moment, or they will die. So, the Kohathites did have a potentially dangerous job, but it could have been looked at as demeaning. Why aren't we special enough to go in and look? Aaron gets to. Aaron's sons get to. Why can't we look? Why can't we touch it? All I want you for is to carry. And if you touch it, you'll die. How many of you know that that was a very clear job description? So here's what I want to focus on today. What if your whole purpose in life is to carry stuff? You're in the prime of life, age 30 to 50. Go out and conquer the world. But your whole calling, your whole purpose for living is to carry stuff. You can't wrap it. You can't even look at it. All you have to do is carry it. What kind of a job is that? And sometimes I think we look at things in the kingdom of God like this. Doesn't seem that important. I'm a Sunday school teacher. You know, all I do is I sit over here and play a tambourine on a worship team. Or maybe all I do is talk to my neighbor and share with them the love of Jesus. Doesn't seem that important. But as we heard today in the prophetic word, every little thing has purpose. And these several thousands of men, whatever it was, 15,000 or so, people, the Levite clans who were there, seemingly having an insignificant job, were doing exactly what they were assigned to do. The kingdom of God could not operate the way the Lord wanted to unless each of these persons took their assignment seriously. Moses couldn't do it by himself. You might say, well, he's the pastor. Moses should be able to move that tabernacle down there. No, it took several thousand people to do this, but each person in the prime of their life was called to carry. What if that was your job in the kingdom, to be a carrier? Somebody I think of and I want to give a little bit of honor to today, I don't know if he's even here, I don't see him, is Eric. Eric, the youth, I mean, to me, he's a carrier in a way. I mean, he does so many things that probably none of you even ever recognize. And he is in the prime of his Christian walk. All his Christian walk, he's done these things. He's just a servant. And you never really recognize it. And one day, you die and go to heaven, you might be lucky to see the back of his head. If I happen to be in front of you, you'll probably have no problem seeing mine unless the Lord decides to give his hair up there. You know, Eric is a man like this who, he has no pretensions. He's not trying to be I got to be a great apostle to be used in the kingdom. He's just servant, carrying. He's carrying all the time, looking for ways. And there's others. I just wanted to highlight him. Probably many of you don't even know that. But as I was reading this story, he's a person that kind of came to my mind. What if your whole life purpose in the kingdom was to carry stuff? They spent 40 years doing this. Men through the entire prime of their life, waiting for the next camp to move. They didn't move every day. Sometimes they camped for a while. Over 40 years, they went to 42 different camps. And your job was to wait. Wait till the camp's ready to move and go pick up the stuff and carry it and set it up in the next place. That's my whole ministry, my whole calling. How do you find value in what looks meaningless? How do you find value in a task that seems meaningless, even in the kingdom of God? And I think it's found, the secret of that is found in those four words, which I want to close with, and that is the word command, the word assign, and the word work and carry. First, let's talk about command. What is it that God has commanded you? That's the question you've got to ask yourself. If God has commanded you to be a carrier, you're doing exactly what God wants you to do. It doesn't matter whether you're on the TV or the radio or if you get notoriety or anything. If you're doing what he has commanded, you're right in the center of God's will. What if all you have is a few fish and a couple of loaves? You're right in the center of God's will. And people today all over the world talk about that little boy who thought he may have had nothing to offer. I wouldn't doubt that somewhere in America or in the world, somebody's preaching a message today about that little boy. What is it that God commanded? If God commands something, it's obviously important to him. Well, I don't know if I want to be a carrier, Lord. It doesn't seem too important. Doesn't seem like it's significant enough. Doesn't seem like I'm going to get my name out there. If it's what God has commanded, it's exactly what he wants for you. It's the best for you. The word command is also translated in the Bible two interesting ways. One is the word portion. And the idea behind that is if God commands something, he kind of gives you your portion. Everything else on the outside of that doesn't matter. This is your portion. This is the command. It's the same word that's used when Elijah said to Elijah, "Let me inherit a double portion." It's also a word that's translated many times in the Bible as the edge of a sword. The word command is like the edge of a sword. The Bible even talks about God's word being like a sharp two-edged sword. In a way, God's command kind of cuts through all the details of my life and separates. It says, hey, this is what I want for you. Cut everything else away. It's his command. If God's command for you is to carry the curtain, then his blessing will go with it. In a way, maybe you can experience a double portion blessing because you have found the command of the Lord. You know what it is he's called for you. How about the word assignment? This is another interesting word in the Bible, how it's translated not only as an assignment, but also the word bondservant. That surprised me. A bondservant. A bondservant is like, in other words, a slave. Somebody who has a slave relationship to a master. And that's the same word that's used for assignment. How do you view your assignment in God's kingdom? Do you look at it as, I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ? That's how the Apostle Paul saw himself. He called himself a bondservant of Jesus Christ. That means in some way that I lose my right to do what I want. I'm now a bondservant of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, when God gives a command and he gives us our portion and he makes an assignment, in a way he's attaching a burden to your life. This is for you. This is what I'm attaching to you. How do you look at that? As a bother? That God's ways are getting into my life? God's work is pushing into my privacy? Well, I don't know. I'm not sure how we look at it. Or maybe we're afraid. We're afraid of what it means to be a bondservant. We're afraid of commitment. We're afraid to say, I'm all in. But I believe that is one of the secrets to us finding value in what might be looked at as a demeaning work, an unimportant work. I'm a bondservant. Have you ever had a time in your life when it looked like the things of the kingdom of God were becoming dull and drab? Has anybody ever experienced that before? Well, I think we all do. But how do we continue? Because if we see it, we're a bondservant. We don't really have an option. If things aren't working out too good for me in the kingdom of God, where am I going to go? Where else can I turn? Yeah, I might go through a season of my life where things are down and drab, but Jesus, only he has the words of eternal life. I can't go anywhere. Lord, help me to see my assignment as a bondservant. And the third thing, what about carrying the burden? The word carry actually is the word burden. It's like a burden, something you carry. And there is a burden to the work of ministry. I mentioned to you how Paul looked at himself. That which comes upon me daily, the burden or the care of all the churches. Moses spoke about, why, Lord, have you given me the burden of all these people? He called it a burden. It was his assignment. It was his task. You might say, boy, I wish I was Moses. I wish I could have gone there and been at the burning bush. I wish I could have led those people out of Egypt. Moses said, Lord, why did you place this burden on me? It is a burden. It is a work. It is something heavy to carry for all of us. But we have to stand up underneath it because it is the Lord's assignment and he will give us grace. 1 Corinthians 15:58, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Galatians 6:5 says each one of us should carry their own load, their own burden. Each person, each must carry his own burden. So, yeah, you're going to be involved in the work of the Lord. I don't know what his assignment is for you, but I'm going to tell you it's going to be weary. It'll be a burden. It'll be laborious. It'll be a toil. And it won't always be joyful. It won't always have happy days. There will be sad days. I mean, read about the Apostle Paul. And yet he saw his assignment. I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. And he tried to encourage his brothers in the same way. I mean, if we think about the church and how it's going through hard times in our world today, and what if persecution breaks out in America? What are we going to do? I'm not going to run anywhere. Where can I find safety? But under the shadow of his wings. We've got to be serious about the work of the Lord and the burden of his work. It is a burden to carry. And finally, do you have eyes to see what is under the badger skin? I love this idea. See, if you look at those badger skins, you look out there, it's like, look how, that doesn't look too awesome to me. It's like this badger skin or this porpoise skin, whatever it is. And these guys are walking around carrying it down like it's some great thing. All you see sometimes is badger skin. It doesn't look that appealing. It's not like you want to jump over there and say, hey, I want to be in that job. But can you see what's under the badger skin? Can you see what's under the porpoise skin? Because that's where the glory is. Underneath that porpoise skin is the Ark of the Covenant, where God's presence would dwell. Under that porpoise skin was the table of showbread, where there was fellowship with God. There was the candlesticks. All these things are under the badger skin. And sometimes we shy away from walking too closely with the Lord, and it's because we don't see beyond the badger skin. There's so much glory. The Apostle Paul said, though this outward man perish day by day, his inward man is being renewed every day. There was a glory that came, even though there was a toil, even though there was a hardship, even though there was labor and work and a burden, there was a joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory is how he describes it. Can you see under the badger skin? You probably talk to people at times and say, oh, it's hard to serve God. I mean, you got to pray all the time. You got to read your Bible. You got to work on relationships. You got to deal with sin in your life. You got to show up at church. I got responsibilities. I got commitments over there. I got this and I got that. It looks like badger skin. But underneath there is where the glory's at. You've got to see. You've got to see what's underneath all that. Yeah, there is work, but there's something beautiful. Something beautiful with walking with Jesus. Isaiah 53, he had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Outwardly, Jesus is like a badger skin. There's nothing outward that we would say, wow, look at that handsome guy. I think I'm going to follow him. It says he had no beauty or majesty to attract us. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. It looks like badger skin. They don't see the glory. It looks like foolishness. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The cross of Christ is such a glorious thing for those who are being saved. But to those who are out here who don't see it, it's foolishness. They don't want to follow Jesus. They don't want to surrender their life to Jesus. That God stuff is all hokey. But we've been able to see under the badger skin, and we see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:7, we have this treasure in jars of clay. I don't know what about you, but I'm carrying around something pretty awesome inside of me. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not trying to be proud about that either. It's because of the grace of God. We have earthen vessels. Look at these things. They're falling apart. But we have a treasure. We have the Holy Spirit. God's given us gifts and the talents and abilities. All these things are his treasure within us. He's taken up his dwelling inside of us. We have a treasure in jars of clay. I mean, you look out here on a Sunday morning and say, man, look at those jars of clay. But what I say out here on Sunday morning is, yeah, I see some jars of clay, but I know underneath all that is treasure. There's treasure, there's treasure, there's treasure, there's treasure here and there. We've got to be able to see beyond the badger skin. What is that treasure that God has deposited within me? And that's what we're carrying. We carry it around everywhere we go. You don't have to be here on Sunday morning to be in the presence of God. You can do that over at your house, in your basement, at work, in school, as you're driving your car. You're carrying the treasure with you. You are a carrier. That doesn't sound good, does it? Maybe we should make up some t-shirts. I'm a carrier. I'd like you to stand with me. We're going to close. In 2 Corinthians 2, Paul the Apostle says, we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ. We are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. We give off an aroma to everyone around us, both to the perishing and those who are being saved. And he says, to the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. Because some have seen beyond the badger skin. Others still haven't. And the message about Christ repels them. It pushes them away.